Welcome, everyone, to the Grace Hour Show, our Christian podcast that takes you through the daily life of a believer, helps you to learn about your faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Mac Arrett. I am joined today by Pastor Ronaldo Brown. Say hello, Pastor Ronaldo.
Hello, Pastor Ronaldo.
Wow.
You didn't see that coming.
I did not. I should have known you would do that.
Come on now.
Pastor Ronaldo welcomes himself to the show, and we are here today to talk to you guys about we're going to continue in Romans chapter 12 from yesterday. I think they covered the first two verses. Mm-hmm. We have verses 3-8. So I think I'm just going to kick us off by reading the verses and putting a little preface out there. Sure. And then Pastor Ronaldo, we're going to see where that goes.
Sure.
Okay. If you are following along, please feel free to write in on the chat, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, wherever you're watching from. If you can type something in, we are here to receive the comments. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, accordingly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now that is a mouthful. That is a lot of gifts in the body. But the focus here, what we're talking about today, is how all of this comes together mm-hmm. as a unified whole. What does harmony in the body of Christ really look like, Pastor Ronaldo?
I think it's as varied as the character of God. Mm. I think harmony is on several levels. It's doctrinally.
Okay.
Our faith is the same. 1 Corinthians 4:13. I think also, too, in many ways, you experience it in the presence of God and worship.
Yeah.
I think also, too, the synergy of the Spirit when it comes to the gifts, when the harmony, I want to think, is a work of God, because unity is a work of God.
So right.
If unity is a work of God, then harmony is a work of God. And if we have, it's possible, I don't think it's possible to have unity without having harmony.
So yeah,
that would say
I would reverse it, but yes,
yeah. Like harmony would be kind of like the fruit of unity.
Yes, exactly. So, like the outward
yes.
motion of a unified group.
Because some people want harmony, but they don't want unity, and that's called tolerance.
Ooh,
like case Whoa. In point, I'm on a job, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm in a situation, right? I'm going like, okay, I don't like this guy or whatever, or this person doesn't like me. So the boss just wants this pseudo peace. Mm-hmm. I want harmony here. I want peace. In other words, you just don't want us to fight. Mm-hmm. We can hate each other privately.
Let me just put something over my mouth yeah. and keep quiet.
But keep my thoughts to myself mm-hmm. that I despise you. Okay, so there's no unity, but there's harmony. But the problem is that's a false harmony because it can't be sustained. Eventually, I'm going to burst.
That's like the tenor hitting the falsetto note,
yeah.
You know, in the choir. It's not really his place to get that yeah. high, but he hits it for a minute
yeah.
in order to get some. Thank you for that. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that.
You're going up, and we're done.
Oh, that's it. Voice is about to crack right there.
The tenors look at you like, are you going to do that? That's a choice. You decided to go there. That was a decision. You actually stood up here with all of us and you just thought you were a tenor.
Yeah.
And for the sake of harmony, sure.
Sure. For a minute.
Yeah.
That might work for a minute.
Yeah.
But in the long run, mm-hmm. there has to be something deeper happening for true harmony to manifest itself amongst believers.
Right.
That's what we're talking about specifically. Mm-hmm. Paul's addressing a group of believers here. You look at Romans as a whole, chapters 1-8, mm-hmm. all of this position, everything that you need to know about yourself and your identity, what God has called you to, what God has called you out from, mm-hmm. the internal struggle that's within yourself. Finally, you get to chapter 12 after like a short aside by Paul, speaking of his own men and women, his countrymen, Israel. You get to this practical living chapter, mm-hmm. and it continues the rest of the way through. Mm-hmm. So what does this harmony, where does it come from? Where does it start? Okay, you said doctrine. That's mm-hmm. that's a good starting point. What was one of the other ones you listed off?
We mentioned the presence of God.
The presence of God and worship.
Mm-hmm.
What about for each individual believer?
Because you're right. Harmony is both a corporate expression
yeah.
and it's also a personal participation. So if I'm participating in a corporate expression, I have a certain measure of a responsibility.
Yes.
It's a good word I want to use. Sure. Like, okay, like I don't just walk in and I'm in harmony, but I have to be in harmony with the harmony that's there, if that mm-hmm. makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I gotta connect.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, and you kind of get a hint of this in verses 1-3, there's something's going on the inside.
Right.
Verses 1-3, something's personal that's happening.
Yes.
And I would say two things. I say, number one, there's an attitude. There's a yeah. mindset. Kind of, because he's used the word mind a lot in the first three verses. The
oh,
word,
yeah.
Notice how it goes to the grace lesson in verse 3 of how not to think, which goes back to Titus 2, that we're first taught what not to do. Mm. So he comes right back here and you can compare verse 3 with verse 12 of Titus chapter 2,
mm-hmm.
what not to think and then how to think. And then he ties it together in verse 3 and also verse 6 with faith.
Yes.
Now, oftentimes Romans 12:3 addresses faith in a salvation mindset. Like you were given enough faith to choose Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's a low hanging fruit, but they grab it.
It's there.
It is there.
But that's
there.
Not all it's about.
Right. But you're tapping into what I'm talking
right.
about. I'm going to say that measure of faith is not just for me to know God, but mm-hmm. for me to experience and express God, and that there's enough faith for me to walk in the Spirit in my gift,
yes.
and that the gift would be developed. And I think that's what's happening here. I think Paul is saying very clearly that something on the inside that's going to happen, that's going to provoke harmony mm-hmm. is that it's in the Spirit. It's by faith.
Yes.
By faith, there might be an unharmonious situation or an unharmonious act that happens in the body of Christ.
Yes.
This is among believers. And outside of faith, I'm not going to plug into spiritual harmony.
Right.
I'm going to plug into tolerance, like, I don't like that.
Or superficial whatever.
Yes.
Yes.
Religion. I'm just
religion.
A culture will guide our harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what religion does.
I'll conform.
Does. Yes.
Right.
But I'm not going to commit.
I'll act the way you act. I'll walk in and see you guys speaking in tongues and I'll start trying to speak in tongues with whatever syllables come out.
They're always fun.
It's always fun. Here's what I like about verse 3.
Yeah.
Paul calls on his apostolic authority.
Mm-hmm.
to introduce this idea. And he has a reason for that. It's not like, hey, let me play my apostle card
yep.
here. He's saying, God has gifted me this gift.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this gift allows me to say to you, operate in your gifts
mm-hmm.
because your gifts are important. The same way that God made me, Paul speaking, God made me an apostle is important for me to be instructing you right now.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true for whatever gracious gift God has given each and every one of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an even playing field in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Nobody, this is what verse 3 says, don't think of yourself more highly
mm-hmm.
than you ought to think, but rather think soberly. Think, take a moderate measurement of yourself and say, hey, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but esteem one another greater than yourself. It's about looking outward, not inward. You start looking inward, you take this measurement and you say, okay, God has given me grace.
Mm-hmm.
God has given me faith.
Yes.
What am I going to do with those things? When I take on that attitude of we're all the same,
mm-hmm.
it eliminates a lot of things that would attack harmony
yes.
and would take it out of the picture.
And attack unity.
Yeah.
And I like the way that the relationship is converse spiritually. It's almost counterintuitive. Because when you're looking for unity or harmony, the first place you look is outside.
Yeah.
Because that's the definition of conformity.
Yes.
Conformity is that I look outside
mm-hmm.
and then I make an adjustment inside. But what you're saying, and I like what you're saying, is that because of how we got what we have,
mm-hmm.
we always have to look inside.
Yes.
And there isn't a conformity as much as there is a communion. So if I commune on the inside, then there's an expression outside, and that expression outside is harmonious only because we're all communing with the same source internally.
Yes.
But if I commune internally, but you don't commune internally, okay, then there won't be harmony simply because it didn't start from inside out
mm-hmm.
and not the right source, not the right course. That's a good way to look at it. Right
yeah.
source, right course.
Yes.
But the other way, the way the world talks about harmony is really conformity, where I look at, like, read the room, that classic ridiculous statement, read the room. Mm-hmm. Basically, how was everybody else acting? One of these kids is doing his own thing. One of these things is not the same. So, okay, everybody's acting a certain way. Read the room. Okay, so that means that I need to look at the outside and change my inside mm-hmm. to match the outside. Mm-hmm. And that's not spiritual harmony.
Yeah, like here's the deal. Like, what if you are an outlier when it comes to your spiritual gift? Mm. What if your spiritual gift is actually in some way, shape, or form meant to call attention, like, okay, someone who prophesies.
Okay.
What is someone who prophesies? It's someone who shares the mind of God or the word of God. Mm-hmm. If you are meant to prophesy, or you have the gift of preaching and teaching, you are meant for people to have their attention called to your words mm-hmm. because you're giving the word of God.
Right.
Right. So what if you're an outlier and you don't fit in the group, uh-huh. but God has given you this gift? How do you walk comfortably in that? How do you find your way through to a place where you can exercise the gift? You can feel like you're not being weird next to the rest of the group who just want to talk about whatever.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, in other words, like you're saying, like, when I commune internally and there's an expression externally in the gift,
right?
Because I commune by faith with God and then in the spirit, and there's an expression of the gift. I could be surrounded by a bunch of people that, number one, don't sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, are not communing with the same spirit that I'm communing with. Mm-hmm. In both cases, I'm weird.
Yeah.
I'm weird in the body. So I guess the question I have to ask myself is, okay, God, hopefully the God I'm communing with gives me wisdom beyond that.
Sure.
And I could say, well, in those situations, I could be wise and skillful in my expression, number one. I want to also say this too. This is a Dr. Stevens quote, which is very interesting. My gift is not for every place.
True.
There could be a situation where maybe, yes, I'm communing in the spirit and faith, but the Holy Spirit can actually tamper my gift and say, not here mm-hmm. and not now.
Definitely.
Or not this way. So that's also on the table.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a tough question, because sometimes you feel like, okay, I want to fit in.
Yeah.
I want to fit in the body of Christ. I want to participate. And this is a classic right now, and not right now, for a long time, actually, in Christianity. Guys are out there, I've got this gift and I want to use it, and they're holding me back. It's like, yeah, because you're so amazing that the entire church's mission is to stop you from using your gift. But you personalized. You feel like I'm being stifled.
Right.
So you want to run somewhere where you can be in your gift. But my question is this: is it desire for you to be seen, used?
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Be careful.
Look
now,
out.
Now we're touching. Cause then you have to say, okay,
the heart of man right here.
I want to do it. I got this thing. And here's the classic one. People, they kind of tell me I'm good at that
mm-hmm.
or they like the way I do that. And you get that public endorsement.
Oh, the body reciprocates.
Yeah. They keep coming up to me and calling me this and saying this about me. Like, Oh, that's confirmation. Yeah. So why isn't it happen?
You do an entire message out of context.
Yeah.
You over spiritualize something that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
And other people will come, wow, you did amazing. You were so good.
I've got the gift.
Let's
go. Come on.
Period.
So, and they won't, there's no harmony because they don't see my gift.
Yeah.
So what do you do with that?
You have to go back to verse 3.
I think
you got to go back to verse 3.
Hmm.
One question that I've learned, and I don't think this came from me, I'm fairly certain this came from many wise men before me who have counseled me and others in this way, is that, are you doing something for you
mm-hmm.
or are you doing something for others? Like, is it for your own benefit or mm-hmm. is it for their benefit?
Excellent.
And this is like a really good health check or heart check to notice, what is the motive behind your action? Okay, maybe you have an outlier gift. Maybe you have a gift that, like, calls attention to yourself. Are you trying to operate in it to get attention?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you operating it to build up another person? 1 Corinthians 14, like, let's just stick with prophecy for a second. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 says that you would use your gift of prophecy to edify,
yes.
to comfort, mm-hmm. and to exhort.
Mm-hmm.
How many times is that used in that regard? It's not always used in that regard. If someone's being selfish,
sure.
they might start going on a rant. They might start
mm-hmm.
preaching about things that have nothing to do with the word or edification or comfort or or exhortation.
I got the mic.
But I got the mic, so I'm just going to speak. Like, yeah. Hey, right now I got the mic. I could unload on you right now, Pastor Ronald. Should I do it?
Probably not.
Nope.
Somebody says, ding, no.
But you're out of the quick fire round.
But okay. It's a good point. It's yes. Like, okay, I want, and I think we start digging backwards to go forward.
Yeah, sure.
Like in verse one, the idea of a sacrifice takes away the desire for me to serve myself. Yes. It's unto God. And then in verse two, there's a change in verse three. In verse two, there's a change in my thinking.
Yeah.
And then there's a result of that change in verse three. So that then I approach the body, number one, humbly, sacrificially. Mm-hmm. But you can read the word unselfish in verse one, else verse two and verse three.
Sure.
So that this goes back to our original thought.
Yeah.
If I approach the body with my gift,
yeah,
but with the right attitude,
mm-hmm,
then my gift fits where God wants it to fit. And I conform not based upon the maturity of my yes. gift or yeah. the acceptability of my gift, but I'm able to participate. And that's the word that yes. comes to my mind. Participation yes. feeds harmony.
Yes.
If we don't have harmony, we're not one of, that's the key word right there. Mm-hmm. We're not one of another. How yes. am I one of another?
Yeah.
Because how I participate on that level, that decides everything.
When you're led by the Spirit
mm-hmm.
in your gift, the Spirit is going to use it in the right context
yeah.
with the right group of people. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 3, that we are endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Same thing it's saying here in Romans chapter 12. There's one body.
Mm-hmm.
We're all members of one body. If your gift is to be used, it's to be used to promote the body. It's to mm-hmm. be used to draw people in to the words of Christ or the thoughts of Christ or the worship of Christ. Like the worship leaders, are great at this.
Mm-hmm.
There's worship leaders in churches all around the world. No one knows their name. No one knows who they are. No one knows what they do. But what do? They lead people with their gift of mm-hmm. music and prayer and the word, and they bring people into a worship with Christ, and everyone in the room is one
mm-hmm.
for this period of time. I think that's like an amazing testimony to what Romans 12 is talking about, how right. Paul is instructing. Those of you who have the gift of prophecy, do it according to faith. Those of you who can minister, wait on your ministry. Like mm-hmm. just wait on the opportune moment to serve another person.
That's the word you just said, the phrase you just said. By the way, hi Maggie, hi Dorothy. people that I know overseas.
Nice, I love that.
Tune in. Where are the rest of the Africans? Okay. It's interesting to me, like, how I participate in the body of Christ as far as my portion. You said it right. You rightly said it. Waiting with my gift.
Yeah.
Because when you didn't know you had a gift, you were waiting with your gift.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden you become self-aware, like, this light goes out. Body members have told you, maybe God has told you, leadership has told you. Now I'm not just saved, I'm saved and I'm gifted. I knew it was there,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm like self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Now self-awareness is not self-control.
Right.
But it can be, because everything else in my life, if I own it, I control it.
Mm-hmm.
God says, I didn't give you your gift for you.
Right.
The primary purpose of the gift in the body is for the body.
Yes.
Primarily.
Yeah.
So how do we have harmony from Romans chapter 12? Is when I understand that what I have is for the body. I am one of another. It's for the whole of the body.
Yeah.
But if I don't see that, I'm not patient with my gift.
No.
I'm anxious. In fact, I might even be ambitious.
And then I use it out of place.
Sure.
And then I put other people out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does it say in 1 Corinthians 12? There's a schism.
Yeah.
There becomes a schism. And it becomes I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul.
Yeah.
It becomes, no, I'm for Adonijah or no, I'm for Solomon. It becomes something where you start following qualities of a person
mm-hmm.
rather than the Spirit guiding the body into unity together for the purpose of growth. Ephesians 4:16, growth, edification, strengthening. I don't know. It's all very interesting. One thing that comes to mind when speaking on the harm, like having harmony in the body, the number one destroyer
mm-hmm.
of harmony in the body, other than self-exaltation, would be something we all hold in our hearts. We try not to, but we hold in our hearts towards others. Can you think of what I'm thinking of?
I'm thinking of pride.
Pride's a big one. Pride's a big one.
Okay.
Yeah. What are you thinking about pride?
I'm thinking self-orientation will always divide me from the body.
Mm.
Because in self-orientation, I'm independent of God's mind.
Yeah.
Also, too, I think it's not, the thing is, it's not really so overtly sinful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural.
No one will notice it.
No, I'm just concerned about me.
Yeah.
What's in it for me? And when all my personal pronouns become personal, my pronouns become partly me, I'm doing this. And self-preservation comes in, recognition, relevance. Like, okay, when I discover my gift, it's now part of my identity.
Yeah.
So when something's part of my identity, I protect it. Mm-hmm. I control it. I direct it. It's me. So when you're telling me something that's part of me has got to be submitted to the body, it feels kind of like unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of like, no, I got this. And I'm gonna, it's like everything else in church life. I decide how I participate in worship.
Yeah.
If I don't want to sing, I don't sing. I decide how I give to the church. If I don't want to give, I don't give.
Yeah.
But you're saying my gift, this thing that God gave me, I now have to, I have to submit that.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be something in me that says, no, I'm going to hold that back. I think there's a lot of people that are not waiting with their gift, but that they withhold their gift.
Wow.
They don't participate in their gift because they're not willing to submit to the harmony of the arrangement of the gifts in the body of Christ.
Wow. That goes back to 1 Corinthians 4:7, like the idea of where you even got your gift to begin with. What causes you to differ from another, but is it not what has been given to you? You go back to, again, Romans 12:3,
mm-hmm.
according as God has dealt to every man
mm-hmm.
the measure of faith. You have gifts according as God has dealt them to you.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 12, the Holy Spirit divides them severally as he wills,
mm-hmm.
as
mm-hmm.
he chooses amongst the body. I'm not going to go into the parable of the talents. That could be totally out of context to talk about it here. But just the idea that people do not operate in them because they think they have some sort of ownership over it.
Yeah.
That's like a very interesting point. I was not thinking about that at all, but that's a great point.
Well, you see this a lot of times. I find this with two types of Christians, brand new,
mm-hmm.
and they think they have a gift, and they could be even right.
Yeah.
But they feel it's under their responsibility. And very mature Christians.
Wow.
Who've kind of served for a season and like, you know, I've done my part. So I hear this classic one. I don't have a vision for it anymore. I don't have a heart for it anymore.
Yeah.
It was a season. So I don't have grace for it anymore. There you go. That's a classic one. I've lost the grace.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I misplaced it in the attic. It's beside my Bible college degree. It's underneath my luggage in my suitcase. Yeah. Under some spoiled passports I used to use. Yeah. But they take the gift and they shelve it.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be in the body. And because I don't want my gift to be used. My gift has a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide how I use when it's done. When it's done, it's done. Maybe life circles, whatever. But my gift is not for me. He's saying it right here. You have a gift. But before he tells you about the gift that you have, he tells about the mind behind the gift.
Mm-hmm.
And if that mind is not persuaded or transformed in verse 2,
yeah.
I'm going to think improperly in verse 3.
Yeah.
And then everything that's being said in verse 4, 5, and 6, 7, and 8 doesn't make sense. Or it's my rule.
Yes, exactly.
The way I see it.
It's your own power.
Imagine.
Let me ask you something. You bring up like a good point. Can gifts unexercised be taken away? Spiritual gifts.
There's two thoughts on that.
Okay.
The first one is... sometimes because of lifestyle choices, you can't function in a specific gift in a certain location.
Interesting.
Because who you are shines brighter than what God has given you as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not be effective in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You could try, but it just might not be wise. Sovereignly, some people seem to think, I'm not so signed off on this, that God can sovereignly give a person a gift for a season. There's some that subscribe to that.
Okay.
I think it's hard to say what God won't do.
Yeah.
So I'll just say sovereignly that could happen.
Yeah.
And there's instances they have context for it. They use a few verses for that, but that's mm-hmm. another topic.
Okay.
But having said that, would God take a gift away because I didn't use it? that's Romans 11, the gifts and calling of God are without him changing his mind. So I'm thinking, but then again, no, there's nothing that God gives I would say that he would take away, but I can have something of God and not use it.
Yes.
I would say like my gifts, my calling. Like I could be called by God to be a pastor, but I'm an offshore fisherman. And I decided to be an offshore. So I'm sitting there with a lobster class hit me in the back of my head. And I'm sitting there in the sea, the water. Meanwhile, you're called to be a pastor. Meanwhile, you're over there separating lobsters. So, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. Good meat. But but having said that, it's easy to get first distant in your call. Here's how it works. Ooh. You get distracted in your call.
Ooh.
You get distant in your call. You get divided from your call. And then in your heart, you divorce yourself from your call.
Wow.
And you don't even know how you got there. But it all started with distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny is Satan will use community to lead you down those four Ds. He'll walk you right down. Next thing you know, you're like, yeah, I'm divorced. I'm like, yeah, that was a thing. Yeah, you know. And then you try to justify the walk in a way. Like, you know, those people or that situation or, you know, that loss, those things. Yeah, that's why. And now, and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
But the verse we just quoted in Romans 11, the gifts and calling of God are without him changing your mind, though you may change yours.
Yeah. When we're faithless, he remains faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He does not change his character in any way. Why would he change what he has given to us? If he could revoke our gifts, people would then argue, oh, then he could revoke his grace.
And salvation.
It would just be this crazy,
mm-hmm.
crazy sidewinder slope that you go on.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that disrupts harmony in a person's heart, pride, that's such a great answer. Wow. That I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the day.
I want to hear yours.
the other one is envy. The other Ooh. One is envy. There's a proverb that it goes in order here. I love this. Proverbs 27 verses 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
A stone is heavy.
Okay.
The sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both.
Ouch.
Okay, so like, you know, word picture, and then human emotion. Mm-hmm. A fool's wrath, okay. heavier than them both. It gets worse.
Uh-oh.
Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. So more levels. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy takes out not only a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a root of bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12.
15, yes.
Yeah, it's a root of bitterness. So a root of bitterness also takes out other people.
Yes.
Envy is the rottenness of the bones mm-hmm. in another proverb, Proverbs 14, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the rottenness of the bones. How do we get past envy when we see others operating in gifts?
Mm-hmm.
When we see someone, what does it say? Someone who gives, giving simply, like uh-huh. without regard to themselves. When we see someone just like, yeah, you need this. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
But when we see that, could we like have this envy inside of ourselves? Why can't I do that? Why can't I be like that person? We see someone up there preaching and teaching.
Right.
Why can't I talk like that? Why mm-hmm. can't I have things to say from the Bible. It's like what's his name? Korah yeah. with Moses yeah. in Numbers 16. Yeah. Like, who do you guys think you are, Moses?
Yeah.
Like, I got 250 great guys behind me.
Yeah.
Who can do this just as well as you? Who are you and these 70 other dudes who got your spirit? Like, yeah. who are they?
Yeah. Or you could say, Miriam, you take too much.
Oh, yeah.
You take too much authority on yourself. Come on now. I can sing. I can do stuff.
Yeah. Even Aaron.
yeah. Yeah.
Even Aaron got punished.
Well, Aaron was interesting. He was kind of like codependent on her envy. He just said, I'm with her. Aaron chose sides and once again yeah. chose the wrong side. But anyway,
yeah.
that's another point. That's a good point. Envy, and we should decide. We should be clear here what envy is and what yeah. jealousy is.
Okay.
Jealousy is when I want what you have.
Yes.
Envy is when I'm upset that you have it.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
So now with envy. So we're talking about envy in the body of Christ because when you live in the flesh, you live comparatively.
Oh, yeah.
When you Ooh, live in the flesh, yes. you're everything. Because, and by the way, it's natural because this is how you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You compare plus to minus. You compare black to white. You compare. And as you compare, you yeah. learn. So it's bred in us as humans to be comparative.
Mm-hmm.
When someone says, well, I don't compare, you're not human. You're out of your mind. We all compare. You kidding me? You ever been to the grocery store? You're comparing. Trust me. You're
all day.
Look at your paycheck. Trust me. You're comparing.
Yep.
So you're comparing. Okay. So as you're comparing, to conclude difference, what are you going to do? You're going to measure what you can measure, what he has, what I have. And in your comparison, you're going to make a natural judgment. You're going to say, with self-preservation, it's hard. Yeah. By the way, why does he have that? Right? Or here's the classic one. This is a deep one. You ready for this one?
Put your seatbelt on. I don't know if I'm ready.
Put your seatbelt on.
I'm buckling up.
Someone commits a sin in the church and the church forgives them. You don't commit the sin, but you're envious of the grace that they got because they did it.
Wow.
I mean, we did this as children.
Yeah.
Like your mother, he stayed out 2 weeks and didn't come home, and you didn't punish him. I stayed out a day. It's an elder brother.
I got
brother.
Grounded for a month.
Yeah, I'm still sore.
Elder brother syndrome.
Eldest brother syndrome. But it's there. And it's really underneath all of it, it's envy.
Envy.
You could even argue really that Cain was more envious than jealous.
Sure.
You put the quotations and say he's jealous, and that might be there in the context, but really he's more envious. He's upset at the honor that Abel got more than he is jealous that he didn't get it. How did your kid Abel? He gets it?
Yeah.
But envy attacks harmony because envy, it removes value from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm envious of you, it's kind of like Romans 2:15. I accuse to excuse.
Yes.
Right? Like, hey, by the way, you know what? How does Jehu get that job? What? How does he get that?
As Jehu's sitting right over here.
He's an engineer. What? He gets that? What am I, chopped liver? It just goes on and on. So-and-so is now in charge of so-and-so. What? He's a pastor. How is that guy a pastor? And it just gets in there.
Yes.
And it's one of those interesting sins that's panaros, really. It's communal evil. Because it says in Hebrews 12:15, it says, and many are defiled.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, by the way, I'm aware of it. It means that a lot of people are influenced in a deep way.
Yeah.
Romans 14:10, all voices have influence, but you're influential in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So that is the way to harmony, because you said something earlier, just coming to me right now. You said that when you're out of harmony, you can put a lot of other people out of harmony.
Yes.
And this is what happens.
Yeah.
Envy is not, and what's interesting is how many times has someone repented for envy? You repent for all kinds of sins, but envy? We kind of hide that in one of our little rooms.
Against you, Lord, only have I sinned.
Yes.
Everybody else, I'm not bringing that up to that person.
I'm not going. Go to your brother alone. About envy? No. About their problems, but not envy, right? Envy is one of those
you
sins.
You can hide it.
Yeah, and it can simmer.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about envy is it has so many sister sins. It has so many different product bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that comes to mind is like melancholiness, negativity.
Yep.
All these things come out. And underneath all of that is just envy.
Yeah.
I'm envious of you. And then, by the way, no one has a poker face when they're envious. It's just look like, Yeah, really? Oh, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Like,
he got a new car? What? I rode a bicycle to church and he's got a new car? Hot, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really, if you read into Psalm 73... There's a major tint.
Psalm 37 and 73.
Yeah,
you can remember them. They're opposite numbers. Read them together. Psalm 37 and 73.
He's like, Lord, they don't love you. And
why do they get everything?
They're getting paid. Yeah. Things are happening for them. They're living
the world
best life.
Loves them. Yes. What is that? 1 John 2:15 and 16.
Me? What am I?
Yeah.
Hated. Hunted and hated. The Christian today is hunted and hated in society. It's really interesting. They hunt and hate us. Literally other religions are allowed to exist. And, we honor your faith. But Christianity, we're the most bigoted. We're the most isolationist, nonconformist, intolerable. It's interesting. And that comes into the church sometimes because we have that attitude.
Yeah.
Like we're those people. So like you said, how do I get to the harmony?
Yeah.
I got to be, again, envy doesn't get in. If my head is right in verse 2 and verse 3,
right,
then I will see you right.
Yes.
In verse 4, and 5,
I'm 6. And I'm thankful for whatever you have because God gave it to you.
Now that's how you tackle envy.
God gave it to, yes. God gave a gift to me. God gave a gift to you. God gave a gift yes. to you. God gave a gift to Jehu. God gave a gift to you who are listening. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you've been given a gift.
That's it.
And we are thankful for one another yes. and we feed off of each other's gifts. Let me propose a reason or a way that maybe it enters in.
Okay.
Okay. And this goes back to Saul. Before he's envious of David, mm-hmm. Saul does something kind of dumb in 1 Samuel 13.
Saul does Saul things.
Saul does Saul things. He decides to operate outside of his office.
Okay.
So let's translate that to what we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. When someone tries to operate outside of their own gift set mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit has given them.
Okay.
I think envy is just around the corner. I think that's like an early manifestation or like a, what's it called? A tell. It's like a tell.
Okay.
A tell in poker. Whenever you give away that you're bluffing or that you have a strong hand, it's a tell that you have envy in your heart and it's inching its way out. So Saul takes the mm-hmm. sacrifice and performs the sacrifice in verse chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And then Samuel sets him straight and removes the kingdom from him. And then he goes eventually and anoints David. When Saul sees David, even though David is ministering to him, mm-hmm. he can't control it.
Yeah.
It's just bubbling out and he throws the javelin.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I like what you said about Saul having envy. I'm wondering the reason why he does the sacrifice in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel instead of waiting for Samuel to show up is maybe he was envious of Samuel's position in power. You could also say he was impatient and felt like I'm in control of this situation. And oftentimes, you can also usurp authority, which goes back to what you said.
Yeah.
When I live in someone else's gift, why do I want to do that? It could be a more attractive gift. Mm-hmm. Like say I've got the gift for helps.
Yeah.
But I love the gift of preaching.
Uh-huh.
So even though my gift skill set is helps.
Yeah.
Give me a microphone. I'm ready to go. And even though it's horrible, I'm going to do it. Because of envy. I'm initially envious.
Yeah.
I'm envious of that gift's influence,
mm-hmm.
That gift's authority.
Recognition.
There's where I want to go. Yeah. Approbation lust is underneath a lot of envy.
Yes.
And I would say in the body of Christ concerning gifts.
Yeah.
Why are you envious of that man's gifts?
Yes.
Right? Oh, because I see the way his gift affects people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Or I see the way people that I respect that gift.
Yeah.
Case in point, sometimes in the ministry, we look for leaders and we assume that only pastors are leaders. So what happens is this.
Yeah.
Leaders who are envious of the fact that we look at pastors as leaders, they want to be a pastor because they want to fit into that.
That's what they think.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, so they're not gifted for it,
mm-hmm.
right? But they jump into it because they're envious of the attention they got.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy's gonna be a pastor. He gets attention. This guy's a leader, but not a pastor. He won't get as much attention. Mm-hmm. So in some churches, it's like the only definition for a leader in the Bible is pastor. So if you're not a pastor, you're not a leader.
Mm.
If I'm a body of member, member of the body of Christ, if I can talk,
yeah.
if I'm a member of the body of Christ,
yeah.
and I see that, I'm in your church, and I see that, oh, so you only recognize leaders as pastors. I'm going to try to be a pastor to satisfy my approbation lust,
right.
to be recognized.
Right.
So I'm going to be envious of the attention that you're giving to that position, and I'm going to try to be a pastor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to convince you that I'm a pastor because I want that, when you're not.
Right.
But once again, because your head's not right, your attitude's not right in verse 1,
yeah.
your head's not right in verse 2 and verse 3.
So your heart isn't right.
So your heart is right. So you go into the body with a gift
mm-hmm.
with the wrong heart.
Yeah.
What's that verse in 2 Chronicles, I think, 24, 25?
25, 2.
Thank you.
Amaziah.
Did everything right that was right in the sight of the Lord. I've got the gift. I'm operating, but not with a perfect heart.
Yeah. Whoa. Man.
And you can hide. You can do that.
Yeah.
Envy is one of those things that you can hide, but eventually, because of the plurality of the corruption, it comes out.
Yes.
It comes out.
Here's where we can go to receive correction from God, not in a condemning way,
mm-hmm.
not to put ourselves down, but we're reading this passage as a whole, verses 3 to 8, because mm-hmm. the answer's there too. verses 4 and 5.
Yes.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ,
mm-hmm.
and everyone members one of another. That means all of us together create, it says, unto the stature of a perfect man. That might be Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes.
Coming together in unity, verse 13. All of us together create the spiritual body of Christ, the one man that we need to be. But if any one of us starts acting out or lording over or pushing others aside, or, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, looking at the weaker and not
esteeming them higher,
esteeming them, then everyone's out of joint. Then the whole body, if we can start thinking together, one person, we're one person, that changes everything.
Well, you notice it in verse 4, he says four times, one.
Yes.
He nails it. He's like, by the way, if you got confused, one body, one in verse 5, one again in verse 5, one again in verse 5, three times in verse 5, and one time in verse 4. Let me be very clear. You are one, right?
Yeah.
And but then again, I like this part. Where is the oneness defined? In the mind of God.
Yes.
You're one because of how God thinks, not because of how you think. And you have to get your mind renewed to his thinking so that in verse 3 you think right, so that you see one.
Yes.
And if I see one, like you said,
I don't see me.
Yes.
I see one.
Ephesians 2:15, like you said, the one new man. I see how many people, the classic message, how many people are in the room? One, yes.
I've never heard that, but I believe you.
This is saying, I've been in enough church meetings where I said, okay, how many folks are here tonight? It's one, yeah. Anyway, that's bad pulpit humor. Okay, so oneness.
Yes.
That's the key, because then I'm not envious. Then I compare the right way. I compare. God's not saying don't compare in the sense like don't be human, but he's saying have the filter of comparing things through the finished work.
Yeah.
Compare things through the mind of God. Compare things through the character of God. And not on your own understanding, which is what we tend to lean to do, because it's so natural to do it. Compare. You're born in the womb comparing. Why do you like this food and not that food? God's not saying don't be non-comparative. He's just saying it's walking through it and processing it in a spiritual way.
Yeah. If you have a gift, you know how you're going to know? It's going to be a joy to you,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a joy to others.
Mm-hmm.
If you're operating outside of your gift and living disharmoniously, unharmoniously, I don't know if what the word is.
Unworks.
Okay, unharmoniously with the body, then it's going to be hard for you, and it's going to be hard for others.
Mm.
Which would you rather have? Would you rather have where everyone comes together in the unity of the faith, the bond of peace,
Ephesians
4:3, peace?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to strive and pursue and push and like go beyond what God has called you to?
Excellent.
Is God's plan perfect?
Absolutely.
Psalm 18 verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect.
Yes.
His word, it's been tried.
Yep.
His word tells us that he's given you a gift or gifts,
mm-hmm.
and that if you operate in them, you're going to bless the oneness of the body of Christ.
I think that's also the strength of the body, is that there's diversity.
Yeah.
But the diversity, we all have the same value, but not the same function.
Yes.
So the spoon is not more important than a fork, but there may be times in the recipe where we need the spoon right now. That's the most important piece.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or we need the fork, or I need this special, but make no mistake, one utensil is not more valuable than the other. And what is the key? The cook is the one that controls the utensil, right? It's not the utensil, that the fork doesn't use the fork.
Yeah.
So the fork's not jealous of the spoon, because the fork has to control over the spoon's use or the fork's use.
Mm-hmm.
Thus ends our kitchen analysis.
All right, I think we did it. Hey, thank you guys for joining in. Nyla, Oretta, thank you for your comments. We appreciate you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us the rest of this week as we continue to talk about Romans chapter 12. Thanks, Pastor Ronaldo.
Thank you, sir.